Hello, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We have a fascinating program. We want to get into it very quickly. First, let me ask you, our listeners, to consider contacting us and letting us know if there are any areas, any topics you'd like us to try to explore for you. We certainly will. Please do so either by sending us a letter at Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466. Greenwich, Connecticut. The zip code in Greenwich is 06836. 06836. If you wish to email us, do so at clemons10@aol.com. That's CLEMONS, the number 10, at AOL.com. And we also invite you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. You could find that at the website spirituality.org. That's spirituality.org. You'll find articles there and other things. One of these things you'll find is our radio program, Thoughts for the Week. There you can listen to at your leisure. Well, now it's time to first welcome my co-host, Dorothy Riera. Welcome.
Father, always a joy to be with you.
And a joy to be with you, too, and a special delight to welcome as our guest today, Professor Michelle Loris. And we take a look now at her area of expertise, which there are many. She is the chair of the Department of Catholic Studies at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Connecticut, where this show emanates. She also is the professor of English and a professor of psychology, the assistant dean in the College of Arts and Sciences. So, Professor Loris, welcome. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm delighted and honored to be here with you today.
It is our honor, and we are delighted to have you. We're going to take a look at universities, particular Catholic universities, and we do mean to emphasize the word Catholic, identity of the university as a Catholic while still being, of course, a university, a place where the exploration of truth and a wide range of topics and studies are part of the very reason for their existence. But there is a concern, especially in the Catholic universities today, that they maintain what they were hoped to do and want to be. Well, let me ask you this question. Are today's students and faculty at Catholic universities really even interested in the Catholic character, or the Catholic mission of the university attended that they knew as a Catholic university?
Well, you know, that's really a good question, because I think that there is this challenge that Catholic universities face, and one of the key questions that we ask in Catholic higher education, because we definitely see a trend among our students towards more secularization, more materialism. There's not a doubt about that, and many of our students identify really more and more, Pew Research will show, as either agnostic or unchurched, not affiliated with any particular institutional religion. And I think even more of concern is that they're really unconvinced of any universal or enduring truth or moral code. You'll hear them sort of reflect that kind of perspectivism that we were talking about before, which is, you know, that subjectivity, you know, well, I suppose this is my truth and that's your truth and this is the way I see it and that's the way you see it. I think another real big concern is that our students are, you know, they're more career-minded by and large. They're more focused on getting a degree and not so much on becoming a knowledgeable and an educated person. And, you know, the cyber world that they inhabit encourages them to seek quick answers and facts. So they're not prone to want to take the time required for careful, critical reading and thinking and reflecting deeply. So that's one concern. I think equally of concern is that so many of our faculty who are top-notch in their field, whose scholarship, you know, is first-rate in their area of specialization, but because they, too, inhabit this world where reality and truth is subjective and relativistic and dependent on perspective, they're really not so concerned with how their area of study can contribute to and engage Catholic intellectual thought. So I would say that in this context, universities do face the challenge to think about, you know, how can they sustain their Catholic identity? How can they bring in Catholic intellectual thought across the disciplines, place it at the heart of the Catholic university? And we need, though, in doing that, we have to show our students that how this thinking is relevant to addressing today's challenges and to today's issues as we prepare them to go out into the world. So, I mean, that is something that we do
and,
face.
And it's also a challenge for students today because competition to get into any university is very demanding, very difficult. And I think the Catholicity of the institution takes a second place to where they can get in and when they can get in.
I think that's true, Dorothy. I think that's very true. I think that that isn't the first reason that they're going to any university Catholic, you know, even if they're applying to Loyola, the University of Notre Dame. Although I heard something interesting about the University of Notre Dame. They have, I guess they have a system where a certain percentage of their faculty have to be Catholic and a certain percentage of their students have to be Catholic. Yeah, that's not the case at Sacred Heart, for sure.
Well, this brings me up the question, we're talking about that identity in a mixed population. How can Catholic universities, with their mission, their vision, maintain their Catholic identity and character and keep Catholic intellectual life at the center of the university?
Well, to answer that, I think I'm just going to use Sacred Heart as an example, if that's okay with the both of you, because I think that we do that fairly well. And I think I'll just use us as an example. You need three things. You need an engaging curriculum. You need to think about the big questions and how the big questions relate to that curriculum, and you need a faculty who recognize the value and the vigor of Catholic intellectual life. So an engaging curriculum, the big questions, and a committed faculty. And this is how we do it at Sacred Heart. So Sacred Heart is a lay staff, lay-led institution. That's how it was founded. And our mission, if you read our mission statement, Sacred Heart University, rooted in the Catholic intellectual tradition and the liberal arts. So that's our mission. Reflective of our mission, rooted in the Catholic intellectual tradition, what we've done is we've developed two required Common Core seminars. And so when I say required, I mean all 1,500 freshmen. They don't take it at freshman year, they take it at sophomore year, but they have to take these two seminars. We call them the Human Journey Seminars, Great Books in the Catholic Intellectual Tradition. So we take these great books, and in these great books they'll read Plato, Aristotle, segments from the Bible, St. Augustine, Aquinas, Dante. In the more modern period, they'll read Thomas Merton, Dorothy Day, Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, philosophers like Charles Taylor, or a theologian like Elizabeth Johnson, or literary artists like Flannery O'Connor, Cormac McCarthy, or Endo's book Silence, poetry by Jared Manley Hopkins. Because we define the Catholic intellectual tradition as an ongoing 2,000-year interdisciplinary conversation between the great thinkers of the Catholic tradition and the cultures in which they lived, asking the big questions about God, humanity, society, and nature. So we, in these seminars, the students have to read these texts. They're framed by four big questions. The reading of the texts are framed by four big questions. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to live a life of meaning and purpose? What's my relationship with the natural world? And what does it mean to form a more just society for the common good? So they're reading these works framed by those big questions and then thinking about the claims of the Catholic tradition which will emerge from these works. And they're in a seminar section, right? So it's not a lecture, it's a seminar, it's a conversation like what we're doing right here. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. So we read Plato, The Allegory of the Cave. We read Aristotle's the piece on ethics about, you know, happiness, what happiness as the ultimate goal of life, but happiness based on living a very moral, consistently moral life. And we've read the Beatitudes. And we're examining these texts, reflecting on them, discussing them, and asking the question, so what does it mean then to live a life of meaning and purpose? What is the good life? And we're asking the students to reflect not only on the text and what the texts are saying, but how do they define happiness? Because they have to reflect on it and connect it to themselves. Mm-hmm. And then they have to connect it to the world in which they live. How does the world in which you live relate, you know, tell you what is happiness? And so obviously they're thinking of fame and wealth and materialistic things. And in this conversation, then, they come out knowing more, you know, about what these great authors are thinking. They're thinking about themselves in their own life. They're thinking about the values that the world is teaching them, and they're trying to make the connections and put that together. I mean, I can give you another example. So we read Augustine's Confessions, and later on we'll read Thomas Merton and Dorothy Day. Now, here are three luminaries, right, of the Catholic intellectual life. But so I don't know how much you read of their lives, but what I've read, they've led some very wild...
Very juicy moments.
Very wild lives, filled with sex, alcohol, desire for fame, fortune, etc., right? But eventually, their life journey took them to the wisdom of the Catholic faith. And so our students, you know, are reading this, they're able to identify. They'll say to me, say, well, Augustine, you know, he really makes sense because, you know, he's like he's talking in our own world today. You know, all he wants to do is be famous and make money, and, you know, sex is a big thing, and we glorify sex in our world, and, you know, they can identify with Dorothy Day, et cetera, but then they see how these great intellectual people on their intellectual journey wrestling with, you know, the whole idea of faith and reason, et cetera, come to really, as their moral compass, the wisdom of the Catholic faith, and the students are able to identify, reflect on that. We're not forcing religion or anything like that, or Catholicism. It's not, again, as they said, catechesis or proselytizing. Mm-hmm. It's just read the great works and think about, reflect on what they're saying, have a conversation in the same way that we're having a conversation about it. And let me give you one more example, which I think is really pretty interesting. I will do two examples. One is where I will take, in my second semester, I'll have them read Freud in his work on, you know, religion as illusion. Mm-hmm. And they'll read Nietzsche on, you know, the idea of Superman and the will to power. And then I'll have them read, you know, Thomas Merton or C.S. Lewis. And I even have them read Francis Collins, who's not Catholic, but Francis Collins is an M.D., Ph.D. He started out as an atheist, and upon his reading of, he has really very interesting stories. He's written a book called The Language of God. Anyway, he's really a great believer, right? He's the head of NIH, mm-hmm. the National Institute for Health. He's the father of the Genome Project. So I'm asking them, okay, look at what Freud says, look at what Nietzsche says, look at what Thomas Merton is saying, look at what Francis Collins, C.S. Lewis, have a conversation about all of their, you know, and now you have to think about, these are their ways of saying what gave their life meaning and purpose and value. This is where their journeys led, you know, and obviously Freud and Nietzsche are way over here, and Francis Collins and C.S. Lewis and Thomas Merton are way over here. But then the students have to reflect on that, and they have to grapple with that, and they have to think about it, and they have to think about how it relates to them and how it relates to the world in which they live. So that's one. And one more example which really connects them to their world, I have them read some of Pope Francis's Laudato Si, and I have them read Elizabeth Johnson, who's a great theologian, and has written a book on Ask the Beast, which is really about the environment, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So they read sections of that, and then I have them go to a website called the Nature Conservancy, which has all of the environmental, ecological, climate thing projects that are going on in the world. And they have to find the project, the student has to find the project that most interests them, whether it's about water or waste or pollution, et cetera, and they have to connect it to the text. And then they come in and they're talking about what they found. They're sharing that with their fellow students. and they're connecting it to the theology, right? And I have to say that that was one of the assignments that was most transformative for them.
Mm.
They would say at the end of the semester to me, that changed the way I think about myself,
mm-hmm.
my relationship to the natural world, my stewardship of the world, my seeing my responsibility to the natural world. It's exactly what Pope Francis wanted.
Mm.
They see the sacredness of the earth, the importance of it. And they talk about wanting to change some of their behaviors from taking a 30-minute shower to a 10-minute shower, right? Mm. Just that kind of thing. And so those are some of the examples of the kind of work that we want to foster in that classroom. Now, in that classroom, I want to tell you that I will have students who are avowed atheists, absolutely will tell you, no, I'm an atheist, or I wasn't growing, you know, I just, you know, had no religious training mm-hmm. at all in my life. Some who are, you know, Islam or Hindu, or many of whom are Catholic, but are not practicing. They're not like...
Indifferent.
Indifferent
to their religion.
Catholic what? Scratch my head, you know? And so we encourage in those seminars, you know, a free exchange of ideas and views. The place has got to be mm-hmm. safe for all the views to be expressed. Open discussion, open inquiry, critical reading, critical thinking, and then this open exchange of ideas, examining the critical issues that are raised, the challenges that the world faces them with, for example, the one of the environment. But we talk about, I mean, I was trying to think of what, it doesn't matter what is going out in the world, because you can look at the morning newspaper and bring it to class, and anything that they're reading, you can.
And it would be great, you know, because I think that unfortunately, across the country, the universities are changing in their attitude towards respecting other people's opinions, respecting intellectuals no matter what their thinking is, accepting guests coming into their universities. Look at Berkeley a year ago. They smashed the university because they didn't want this person to come and talk. They have lost the sense and purpose of what it is to be in a university.
Well, I think we're sort of counter to that view, if you will, because in our classroom, you know, we'll have a student who, and we'll have multiple perspectives, many different perspectives depending on where that student is coming from.
Which is, makes way for dynamism?
It's a very dynamic, a very, very dynamic conversation. And the students will say at the end of the semester, you know, we do course evals, right? And so some of the top positive things they'll say, I love the seminar discussion. I love being able to hear what my fellow students are saying. I liked reading books I wouldn't have ordinarily read, even though they're really hard. And they will say that. They're really hard, or they're dense. And I liked thinking about ideas that I just wouldn't have thought about before. And mm-hmm. those are some of the really positive mm-hmm. things that we're doing. And for some of them, you know, we're developing in the classroom, you know, a community of learners and scholars, you know, with Catholic thought at the center. So they're, you know, they have the Catholic thinkers. Here are the Catholic thinkers. This is what, you know, Thomas Merton is saying. This is what Dorothy Day is saying. We read Gutierrez, liberation theologian, mm-hmm. But we're also reading Freud. We're also reading Freud and Nietzsche and other thinkers, and we're putting that together. What we want to do is engage them in an ongoing interdisciplinary conversation with Catholic thought at the center, and always with the big questions. Who am I? How does this relate to who I am? How does this help me understand myself better? How does this help me understand the world in which I live? And, you know, because they really are morally relativistic. They just mm-hmm. are. If truth is relative and subjective, certainly morality is relative and subjective. And so we're trying to help them engage in sort of developing some kind of moral compass. Mm-hmm. We're not going to tell them what the moral compass is, but we're, you know, all the reading, all the reflecting, all of the conversation will help them. They can't quite be indifferent to it.
Yes, and morality is non-negotiable. I mean, there are moral values that we have to adhere to. But going back, I was thinking when you were a speaking professor, I went to a lay university. I went to the University of Puerto Rico. But in our Spanish literature classes, we studied St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila as part of our program. So it was part, even though it was a lay university, Catholic writers were part of the literature courses throughout the university.
Well,
so it was very enticing.
Well, we because we see the Catholic intellectual tradition as interdisciplinary, we include literature. So they'll read Flannery O'Connor or Endo Silence or Cormac McCarthy's, you know, The Road, or, you know, many other literary works. And some of the faculty are really genius at bringing in art, bringing in music, and relating the music to. In fact, one faculty member stopped me and said, "So I played this piece of sacred music while they were reading Dante's Purgatorio," right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the ideal, right? Mm-hmm. Here's how the music and the literature and Catholic intellectual thought all go together. And we want to do that. We want to engage them in that. You know, interesting that you're talking about Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross, because in the first part of the seminar, many of us end the year with the mystics, which mm-hmm. is a whole, this is well beyond their ken, well beyond the world in which they live.
Yes.
Remember,
mm-hmm.
they live in a world where, you know, answers come like this in hopefully 140 characters or
the
less.
The internet is
right?
there.
The internet, et cetera. So the idea of contemplation and mysticism is really, you know, beyond their experience. But, you know, we started with the cloud of unknowing today, and what an engaging conversation we had. And you know what? I want to say something. This is something you don't see at most Catholic universities. But I team lead that CIT seminar with the president of our university, Dr. John Patillo. He shows up to every class, every semester. He's so dedicated. And he asks them the most poignant, powerful questions. They'll sit back and go, where did you think of that question? Because he'll ask them, I'm saying this out of context, but he really fosters in them, how does this relate to your own journey? What is reflection? What does it really mean to be reflective? When we're talking about the book of Job, he goes, well, why is suffering important? What does it do in your, you know, who thinks of these like that? I mean, he's just genius at that. Yeah, and so, you know, here he is, right, the president of the university, a rather busy man, I would say. But every Tuesday and Thursday, he's in that class and, you know, engaging with the students. And so today, anyway, we're doing the mystics. And, again, this is something that's a challenge for them, right? So they did the cloud of unknowing, and I had them break up a little bit into small groups and say, you know, well, what questions would you ask of your fellow classmates based on your reading of The Cloud of Unknowing? Well, the questions were absolutely brilliant, because they got what The Cloud of Unknowing, that is the road of contemplation. What is contemplation, even though they themselves admittedly don't experience that whole contemplative, and very few of us do, I want to say. But even though it was a challenge for them, they were thinking about it, and they were thinking about, well, how would this play out in my life if I were to do this, even if it were outside the realm of religion, but if I were to empty myself and to really, you know, have my mind and heart and soul focused on, you know, not the self, right, because you have to get the self out of the way. And so it was really it was really delightful for us to see them engaged in that conversation, and to take on something which, you know, it's one thing to talk about Augustine moving from his life of, you know, the pursuit and the desire for fame and wealth and sex to his moment in the garden where he has the moment of grace and the moment of his conversion. They can identify with that. That's like hardcore, but, you know, we're going to do Hildegard and Julian of Norwich on Thursday, which would be pretty interesting.
Well, you know, I just find it fascinating that they're eventually all of this growth and all of this investigation and thinking about your relationship to everyone and to the world brings us to certain conclusions, I believe. Not conclusions that may not be open to further development, but I can see that kind of interesting, because you see what's happening with the moral questions, moral relativism, yet when you talk about societal levels, everything going on with the respect for women and the sexual abuse. Now I'm sitting there and I'm hearing, my gosh, this reminds me of the 50s. This is wrong to do this. Not it may be wrong or may not be wrong, depending on how you feel on a given day, but these things are wrong. These are values that should touch everyone throughout society. And it's almost like there's a society can't possibly work if everybody's making up
their own decisions.
Their own decisions all
well,
the
that's,
time.
Yeah, that's one of the. That's what I was talking about the other in our previous conversation about the prevailing sort of subjectivism or relativism or perspectivism. But what you hope is that, you know, from the kind of seminars that, you know, we're offering our students, that they're able to see that that perhaps is a bit too fragmentary, and that there needs to be something, you know, that there needs to be perhaps some underlying, enduring, objective mm-hmm. foundation for truth or morality, and that it doesn't have to be connected to something that's restrictive what word would I use? That because their concern is that the rules of religion are, you know, mm-hmm. don't respond to the contemporary world, and in some ways they're right about that. So you want to show them that we can, you know, that the Catholic intellectual tradition is willing to engage what the problems and issues are mm-hmm. in the contemporary world, and help them still think about it in a way that will give their own life meaning and sense and purpose and order, and hopefully lead them with some moral clarity. Mm-hmm. Leave them with some moral mm-hmm. clarity.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder what kind of student you wish to have the graduate of Sacred Heart University as he or she walks into their world. What would you ideally like to have in this last minute of the program?
Well, I mean, I think knowledgeable, self-aware. You know, and I think that's one of the things the seminars do. Mm-hmm. They really help try to promote really self-awareness, self-understanding, that they will have a sense of giving back to the community. Social justice is a huge, mm-hmm. I mean, that's your Dorothy Day, Thomas Merton, their whole thing was social and political activism. We read Martin Luther King as well in that seminar. And so there'll be people who'll be wanting to give back to the community, and that there'll be leaders who have, you know, the knowledge and the education that make them, make them a leader or a valuable player in whatever place that they'll come. And for some of them, they will have, you know, the foundation of the Catholic intellectual tradition. They won't all be Catholic, mm-hmm. and they may not all be practicing Catholic for those who may be Catholic. But that they will have that foundation behind them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Professor Michelle Loris, thank you for being our guest today on Thoughts for the Week. I know all our listeners, I hope, can become more thoughtful. And may your mission, may your vision continue on, and God bless you, and God bless this universe.
Well, thank you both. Thank you
for having me. Thank you for being here.